stick around. You'll just have to share the table.
Oh, yeah.
This is an exercise.
From the Office of the Sheriff, the Superintendent of the House of Correction and Corporation Counsel, providing an update on the provision of inmate medical and mental health services at county correctional facilities. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Thank you. You want to start it off?
Peg, I'll turn this over to Assistant Superintendent McKenzie because she's been working very closely with the Armor personnel and she can brief on what we've done to date.
Thank you.
Good morning again. I will be reiterating some of the things that the superintendent has already touched on. Our infirmary is fully operational, fully functional. We do need some roof repairs over the infirmary, which are being scheduled and will be completed hopefully within the next couple of weeks. We are waiting on a list from Armor indicating what supplies they need to put in that infirmary, such as inmate beds, EKG machines, and the like. And lastly, Armor will be submitting to us four potential hires in which we're going to be conducting the backgrounds on. But it's been a very good relationship. Communication is there. Everybody's on task, on point, and we're moving forward.
That sounds all good. What's been the cooperation with the other facility, and what issues do we have?
Regarding the cooperation, Wade Daly from Armor, he has been the liaison between the two facilities, and they have worked cooperatively with us. We haven't had any issues.
Okay. Other members, questions?
Supervisor Brown. I don't have a sense for how long Armor has been in place there. Could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, are we at a point where we can offer any kind of reasonable evaluation, or is it too early in the process to really expect
that? It would probably be a little bit too early because they're in a process of getting their positions. I mean, they have the management staff in place. The work we've done with them has been excellent. I mean, nothing but positive feedback. They have a big job of doing evaluating how they're going to assign the current county employees, and they've been going through that process. To date, I'd say it's been excellent. We'll have to wait and see. I think it's too early to say, you know. Either way, at this point, I can tell you, everything has been very cooperative. It's been no problems whatsoever. So, I anticipate that's going to continue.
That's I think can be characterized as off to a good start. But I think we'll be very interested in ongoing reports back on how things are progressing.
Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you. Well, on our agenda here, it's from the Office of the Sheriff and also the Corp Counsel. Could we at least have those other entities make a comment on the process?
Absolutely. Thank you. And if you could just introduce yourself as you come to the table.
Kimberly Walker, Corporation Counsel.
Inspector Edward Bailey, Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I'm joined by the medical leadership of the Armor Corporation to have them introduce themselves to the committee today. I'm also joined by the subject matter experts, Major Deborah Burmeister, and my fiscal affairs analyst, William Lethlean, that'll be able to address the committee's questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps it'd be helpful if I just walk the committee through where we are from a legal standpoint. So early May, the court ordered that the county enter into an agreement with Armor to provide inmate medical care. We'd had other prospective vendors that expressed interest, but ultimately, for one reason or the other, did not follow through the process of submitting a proposal to provide the care. And so the court ordered the county to enter into the agreement. Corporation Counsel sat down with members from Armor as well as the Sheriff's Office to provide input to the extent that we were able. And the county entered into the agreement with Armor on May 9th. We needed to make sure that there was no break in inmate medical care. We had a doctor, the last doctor that was at the county that had indicated he was going to resign on that Friday, May 10th. And so the parties signed the agreement on May 9th. The doctor resigned on the 10th, and Armor took over the inmate medical care that Saturday, May 11th. The agreement with Armor is for 1 year with five possible extensions. We do have a 30-day out provision, so for whatever reason, if the county decides that we need to terminate the agreement with ARMR, we're able to. Given the agreement with ARMR, we now have on staff a healthcare administrator, the chief psychiatrist, and the medical director. The agreement is for $8.9 million. Upcoming things that are happening in August, we hope to have an update from Dr. Shansky. Actually, tomorrow there will be a tour of both the jail as well as the House of Correction. Dr. Shansky unfortunately can't attend, but it will be with the plaintiffs. And so following that tour, Dr. Shansky will be given information, and sometime between now and, say, July, middle of July, it's hopeful that Dr. Shansky will then be able to tour both facilities. The court has requested that Dr. Shansky provide what we're hoping to be a final report concerning inmate medical care, and then in September, the parties will then go back to court for what is currently deemed to be a status conference, but what we're hoping, the defendants are hopeful that we will be able to convert that status conference into an order to show cause, essentially, which will be requiring the plaintiffs to tell us why the Christensen decree should go forward. And so from a legal standpoint, that's where things are.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just add, I think the committee is well-versed in the ARMR contract, perhaps even to a greater degree than I am. The vacant medical positions of note were the medical director's position, the program administrator's position, and the chief psychiatrist's positions. We have those personnel here 3 weeks hence. As counsel noted, a contract signed on May 9th executed them stepping into the void on May 11th, and here we are 3 weeks hence, and we have the people in place. And I know that that's the resolution that this committee and, in fact, the full county board sought. This was the decision of Judge Brash, and it was essentially at the I had the opportunity to attend that hearing, and it was out of the finding by the judge and in agreement of all parties that there was simply no current alternative to ARMR to fill those leadership positions. We're happy to have ARMR here. To be introduced to you, the billing on this is done monthly, as counsel noted. It's predicated on inmate population. 2,500 is the essentially the threshold. If the inmate population drops below 2,400, there's a return of monies, there's a per diem, a lessening of the expenditure, and of course there's more costs incurred if we go above that. We are obviously below that threshold at this time.
One additional thing I'd note is that the agreement with ARMR is with the county. So it's not with the sheriff, it's with the county. I believe director from Department of Administrative Services signed the agreement, as well as the sheriff and the superintendent for the House of Correction. So, again, it's not with one or the other, it's with the county.
Could you explain how that's then managed? Because I kind of don't understand who has the lead role.
That's a good question. I believe the relationship with ARMR thus far has been one that's been amicable, I guess. And in terms of who they report to, we've taken the position that they jointly report to both. But that being said, ARMR deals with the sheriff for things related to the jail. The sheriff has complete control over that, as well as the superintendent having complete control over the things at the House of House of Correction. And so thus far it's worked. One of the things we do need to clarify and get a cleanup on, though, is the budget, because the budget that was passed, I believe, put all of the budget into the House of Correction for inmate medical services. And so I believe the Department of Administrative Services will be coming forward to try to bifurcate those two budgets so that the jail is given their own budget to deal with inmate medical care, and then the House of Correction is given theirs. Right now, it's just one big budget. That's the one thing that I've been made aware of as an area of concern by, at this point, the sheriff's office.
And the three positions that have been filled, if you would, allow you to introduce the people that you've brought with you, but relative to the three positions, are those three positions filled by individuals who are expected to be the permanent, or are those people that ARMR has brought in temporarily with the expectation that they'll find someone on a permanent basis?
I'll reach a bit here. The goal was to get them in quickly. I'll be surprised to hear otherwise. I think they'll testify that their intention is to maintain those positions, that they're not just here in the short term. But I'll let them address that directly, Mr. Chairman.
The last thing I'll add is I know that this committee was concerned about privatizing inmate medical care in terms of the employees being either ARMR employees or losing their jobs. And the way this agreement is set up, the employees that are under the ARMR contract are still county employees, with the exception of those three positions that were just discussed, as well as I believe there are 46 vacancies that ARMR will be looking to fill. Those positions, I believe, will become ARMR positions, as well as when county employees, by attrition or otherwise, leave, I believe ARMR's intention at this point will be to bring backfill in to be ARMR employees.
That's correct.
Anyone else have a question about that? So doesn't that create a Supervisor Jerzyk? Do you have a question about that?
Yeah. I mean, we should be looking towards budget next year to get all of this set out. And I wasn't clear when the Assistant Superintendent McKenzie said that they were looking to hire. I wasn't clear if they were indicating ARMR's looking to hire or the county's looking to hire. Okay. Because there was talk about getting our own employees in place and the ARMR contract only being a temporary fill-in. We're under court orders right now, and I guess it wasn't clear last time. Dr. Shansky is still overseeing this.
That's correct.
And he reports back to the court then, because it and maybe it was my misunderstanding, but I thought there was information that Dr. Shansky was no longer fulfilling that role, that it was actually in the court. But apparently he's kept Dr. Shansky in here. But if we are intending, in fact, to go towards hiring individuals to have these positions in the county, you're going to have a problem if it's ARMR hiring the support staff. So, you know, we need a clear indication of how we're going to go on this. If it's the intention to hire our own personnel, you should probably be also hiring your own support staff under that personnel. Otherwise, you're going to be constantly faced with this conundrum between ARMR and filling our posts. And again, I'm concerned about the sheriff having control over the medical staff. It may be okay to keep this under the House of Correction. I'm very impressed with the way and reports we've heard from the new superintendents. I understand once someone's in the jail, they're under the authority of the sheriff. That's clear. But does he share our concerns about proper medical care? We've been under this Christensen decree for 12 years almost, and we've had a bad track record. So I think we need to get these issues answered, and you need to find out what direction you're going into. So I would suggest this committee get that cleared before we start budget time. Thank you.
Okay. I think I heard two, well, maybe more than that, but at least two issues there. The first question relative to this hybrid setup where new positions are going to be ARMR employees. Despite the 30-day out clause, doesn't that make it more problematic if there was ever a decision to exit the contract? We're going to have a significant portion of the employee base is going to be the contractor's employees now, and so how did we go down that path?
Mr. Chairman, that's a good question. To the extent that the employees that are brought in are, in fact, ARMR employees, and the county exercises its termination clause, those employees that are ARMR employees would exit along with ARMR. I think we have an agreement that would not preclude us from then reaching out to those employees to see if we could hire them as contractor employees and then ultimately county employees. But that's what we would be faced with if the number of employees that are county employees and the number of employees that are ARMR employees shifts significantly. Right now, the majority of the employees are county employees, and the vacancies that we have haven't been filled, but you're right.
And then at least one other point, I believe, was this perhaps a statutory question about is there a requirement that the sheriff have control of this element of the operation, or or how have we interpreted that?
Mr. Chairman, it is our interpretation that the sheriff is responsible for inmate medical care for the jail. That is not a responsibility that we are able to take from him or he's able to give away.
I agree with that statement from counsel, obviously, with the caveat that the sheriff pressed in the court hearing to have a declaration from the judge that this fell under his highest level of authority, his constitutional authority, which would give him the ability to direct, not only be responsible for the work being performed, but direct in every facet how it is performed. And the judge did deny that request and found that while it was a responsibility of his, it was also inherent upon the powers of this board, quite frankly, this committee, to have oversight of that. And that's, I think, why we have the level of cooperation, quite frankly, that led to the contract that we have. And I do understand that there's a conundrum with the handling of employees. Future employee hires are armor employees. That's part of this level of government and private collaboration. And that was a concession, I would say, on armor's part as a vendor, because the first iteration of this contract was that the county employees would be forced to become armor employees or lose their employment, quite frankly. So that was a ceding on their part, and I think a reasonable one. Certainly it addressed the concerns of many of the county supervisors who have not only known these employees for, in some case, decades, but feel an obligation to them to fulfill the promise they made when they became good county employees. They are allowed to maintain their county employment, but new employee hires are going to be armor employees, and that does create an interesting construct, but it's part of the privatization move.
Supervisor Weisson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Corps Counsel Walker, could you, I'm not quite sure I understood you, because the sheriff, just as he can contract with armor, he could enter into an agreement with Milwaukee County, or you could say the House of Correction, to provide that health care and develop the procedures and protocols to implement a kind of universal health care, how inmates will be treated if he wanted to, just like he can enter into an agreement with armor. You said your statement of you couldn't give away that responsibility?
Mr. Chairman, for clarification, what I intended to state was that he's ultimately still responsible. So you're correct. I mean, right now, the sheriff has armor providing inmate medical care, and prior to armor, there was discussion about BHD and the like. But ultimately, the responsibility is still his, and that's what I was intending to state.
Right. That I just didn't want anybody else, but the idea that the sheriff could contract with anyone to fulfill that responsibility, whether it be a governmental unit or a private entity, is within his ability.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, that is part of what the lawsuit that we've been involved in has been around. The sheriff went forward indicating that he had the unilateral ability to contract out inmate medical care without the county's consent, and the judge, in fact, said, no, while you are responsible ultimately for inmate medical care, you don't have the unilateral authority to go outside of the county and contract without the board's consent.
That's absolutely correct.
Exactly, a comment that the idea that armor would come in and have and fill these positions is, I see it as this poison pill that they put in into this. And unfortunately, the judge decided on that contract. The judge could have decided on a different contract if he so choose, but that's what he put in there, because it makes complete sense that we would have all those positions filled as county positions, because now they have this perverse incentive to create a work environment that then eliminates county employees, and then they would be filled by armor employees. So I can guarantee, and just to put armor on notice, that at least I will be very watchful when it comes to how our county employees are treated, and to remind you that this is only a one-year contract, and we will not hesitate to make changes if necessary. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Jersey.
I think ask a better question, Karen. What the court ordered us to do? Because my understanding, and again, I could be wrong. I'm not in court. I'm not there listening to what the judge says. But my understanding is he ordered that the county enter into a contract with Armour to get those top three positions. I don't know that he ordered us to then also let Armour hire all the support positions. I mean, previously when we had Dr. Shansky, we were still hiring those support positions. So I think we need to get clarification. What did the court actually order, and what does the Armour contract provide? Do we have to be hiring that support staff through Armour, or do we have another choice here?
Mr. Chairman, if you
would speak to that. Also, I know some members may have actually received the judge's opinion. I read about it but didn't read it. I would like it if it could be circulated.
Absolutely. Mr. Chairman, the court ordered the county to enter into an agreement with Armour to provide those positions that were at issue, those top three positions that we discussed earlier. The court did have in front of it the agreement that Armour had proposed to enter into with the county at the time that it ordered the county to enter into the agreement. And so the agreement itself that the county signed allows for Armour to provide those vacant positions, but that was not part of what the court ordered.
I appreciate that clarification. Did you have some folks you were trying to introduce, and then Deputy Counsel Grady, you had some comments?
If I could, just to follow up on Ms. Walker's comments, mm-hmm. The sheriff had submitted this actual contract to the court and said, court order the county to do this, or allow me to do it at first, but then eventually order the county to do it. And the judge issued his decision from the bench, so we don't have a written decision. Mm-hmm. We just have an order with a couple sentences basically on this issue. So I don't have a written decision we can give you, but there is an order to this effect. And so the judge said to us, frankly, I'm ordering you to enter into this contract, the one that the sheriff had submitted, which contains all of these provisions, including this provision for Armour to fill the vacancies. He said, obviously, you can talk to Armour about some of the what I would call peripheral language, which we did. We sat down in a room and did that, and we talked about the language of the contract and made some changes. But the core basics of the contract couldn't be changed. Dr. Shansky had complained, for lack of a better word, about the vacancies at the top, but also about the vacancies of lower staff, nursing vacancies, et cetera. And that was part of the plaintiff's allegation, is that the medical care was not being fulfilled primarily based on the management, medical management staff, but also based on the lack of supporting staff. And so I think it was key to the court to get the medical, the top leaders in place, but also to get the other people in place immediately. It does allow, obviously, Armour to fill the vacancies that existed when the court ordered it and to fill vacancies as they occur. But you have to recognize that, especially with the staff personnel, not so much the management personnel, they're pulling those hires from the community. Maybe they'll tell me I'm wrong, but I don't think they're bringing a lot of nurses from Florida or nurses from elsewhere. They're hiring from the community. And so if Armour disappears because the contract is terminated or it's let to a different private provider, those employees are unlikely to go anywhere. They're not going to follow Armour's management team elsewhere. And they will be available to the next vendor if we go with another vendor, or they'll be available to the county to hire should we go in that route. So I think while it's true, there's a growing privatization of the staff, a lot of that staff is not likely to leave when Armour leaves, I guess is what I'm trying to say, on a pragmatic basis.
But,
Mr. Chair. Complete? Supervisor Brokowski.
Thanks.
Roger, sorry.
Could we short-circuit that? As a matter of policy, if this board decided that it would be the policy of the county that to direct HR to do the hiring for those positions rather than the privately contracted outfit, what bars us from doing that? Is there anything in the contract language that prohibits that?
Mr. Chairman, yes. As the contract is written, they have the right and obligation to fulfill vacancies. So if we went that route, we would have to be doing it as a termination of the Armour contract and a reinstitution of a complete county personnel system. So as long as we have the Armour contract, we have them filling the vacancies. And we would have to go to a different policy, either return to a pure county model or go to a different vendor or something else.
Well, it seems, I mean, the argument made that the availability of the local workers and the transferring those, should we go to another system, to county employment, I mean, it seems like we have a few steps in the middle here that may in fact be unnecessary, and that ultimately we're looking at perhaps a county employment model as opposed to continuing on ad nauseum or ad infinitum with a private contractor. I think I have gathered over the course of this debate that this committee is not particularly enamored of the privatized model, and I would hope that all parties would understand that we are very likely to be moving in another direction when that opportunity presents itself and the circumstance is stabilized.
Supervisor Burkowski.
Well, Mr. Chairman, those comments might be wishful thinking, but reality says that Milwaukee County was lucky that there was at least another vendor that, in essence, forced Armor to use our employees. Okay, their original contract, and let's face it, the way this was going, it was going to come down to a judge's decision. And so Milwaukee County caught a break in the sense that Armor, you know, granted last minute, but they said they would keep our county employees with the stipulation that when a county employee left, then they were going to bring on their people, okay? Now, the original agreement was they were going to give everybody a chance to reapply, okay, but those county employees would become Armor employees. So I think we forget the fact that we were very, very close in this agreement, whether you liked it or not, that Armor was going to, in essence, whoever wanted to stay on board, those nurses that wanted to stay on board were going to become Armor employees. So we caught a break there, and for us to think that we're going to have some kind of sway to change that policy or whatever is highly unlikely, because we got lucky to get to the stage that we're at.
Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just don't want people, I can tell you, I guess I have a different version of history than Supervisor Burkowski, and I would think others on the committee would feel the same way, and that the policy is set by the board, and we will evaluate the situation in the future and make the appropriate decision. Nothing is a foregone conclusion. Thank you.
Okay. All right. The purpose of this is really an update on this. You had some individuals you wanted to introduce.
Yes, thanks, Inspector. Mr. Chairman. I'm going to bring up the three leadership positions from Armor. I have a 11 o'clock court hearing on supervisor, so I'm going to have Major Burmeister answer the committee's questions the remainder of the way. Believe me, she's more knowledgeable about this than I am. And since my staff has already saluted me once when I entered the room, they're not required to salute me again, so they will not be saluted.
Hey, Bailey.
Thank you.
All right. All right. Wow.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
I'm very happy to introduce or have them introduce themselves. The gentlemen that have been helping us for the last 3 weeks and getting everything arranged. Dr. Gable, you can start.
Hi, I'm Dr. Thomas Gable.
He's the medical director.
Okay. I'm sorry. All right, gentlemen, when we're done here, if you could fill out a blue card, that'll help us with our records to know who appeared before the committee. So, thank you.
Wade Daly, Health Service Administrator.
James Hatcher, Regional VP.
Thank you. Anything you want to add about how the operations are going or the experience has been?
It's been a wonderful experience for me in particular, because I think everybody has been very cordial. I think everybody has been cooperative. Both the leaderships at each institution have been with open arms. What do you need? How can we help with the patient at the center of what we're trying to do? So it's been a great experience so far for me.
Okay. Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Gable, you are the chief medical doctor, is that?
Yes, I'm the medical director.
Okay, are you a psychiatrist too?
No.
Okay.
Dr. Walton is our psychiatrist. She is not with us right now.
Okay. And the other two gentlemen, what roles do you provide? Let's start with the gentleman.
And I'm the health service administrator.
Okay, and please expound.
As defined in the Christensen decree, I would be then the program administrator.
Program administrator. Okay, very good.
And he reports to me.
Okay.
And, I oversee the whole operation as it pertains to Milwaukee. Yes.
Okay. And where did you guys, where did you gentlemen come from? You're not from Wisconsin, right?
No, sir.
Yeah.
I'm from the Philadelphia area.
Philadelphia, sir?
I am from Virginia.
Virginia.
And I did spend some time here in Wisconsin when I was in the military in Great Lakes. I was lived in Kenosha for a couple of years. So.
Okay, very good. And doctor?
Florida.
Very good. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Good to meet you all. We do have one public comment card as well. Mr. Jeff Weber, speaking for information. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, supervisors. My name is Jeff Weber. I'm with the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. Candace Owley and I have met with Mr. Daly and Mr. Hatcher, as well as the superintendent at the House of Correction, and we raised these same concerns to them in those meetings. There will be unintended consequences to this arrangement. Yes, they are county employees, but county employees are civil service employees, and the armor employees are at-will employees. There is going to be a possible disparity in their pay, in their benefits, in their discipline. There's going to be disparity in discipline. The at-will employees, well, if there's a mistake had, they can be let go for any reason whatsoever, where our county employees have the civil service code, the PRB board. And that is going to create dissension and mistrust between those employees. We have a program in place in BHD where we're downsizing Hilltop and the rehab centers. The question was asked, when those units close and bumping occurs, will people, nurses, be allowed to move from BHD to open positions at the corrections? And we were told if they do, they would become armor employees. And we asked about bumping a county employee for a county employee, and nobody seems to have that answer. So there's still some great unknowns out there. And within the correction system, the other question that was brought up, if a nurse wanted to transfer to a different position, maybe move up, would they still be a county employee? And apparently that is not the case, that they would become an armor employee, that if they're currently a county employee and wish to elevate themselves, if that position is an armor position, they become an armor employee. Candace and I do agree with Supervisor Weishon's comments regarding how the status of these employees is going to be affected. And we are hopeful that perhaps in the very near future an amendment can be made to this agreement in which all the RN positions could remain county positions to stop this potential unintended consequences that are going to be coming down the pike. Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone prepared to answer that issue of issues raised by Mr. Weber related to bumping or transfer? Anyone able to provide greater clarity to that? Mr. Grady?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure I can add a lot of clarity, but perhaps just a little. I think what Mr. Weber said is basically correct. I did have a conversation with the Deputy DHR Director, Mr. Session, about this issue. It's an informal conversation, but for county employees who want to bump from, you know, nurses, for example, who want to bump from BHD to the jail or the House of Correction and exercise those rights, they'll have whatever rights exist under the civil service rules for bumping county to county. I don't know the details of that off the top of my head, but there are civil service rights based on seniority primarily. I think Mr. Weber is also correct, however, that a county employee cannot bump an armor employee. So if there's someone sitting in an armor position as a nurse working for armor, the county employee cannot bump them in any fashion.
Okay. Other questions from committee? Supervisor Broderick.
It does sound, in kind of summary, that this bifurcated system is not sustainable in the long term, and that we should begin to think about remedy.
Supervisor Jurczyk.
Part of the problem is you've got the judge overseeing this right now. As I understand it, it's going to come up again in September. So you had the sheriff at the court proceeding presenting the armor contract that the sheriff had worked out. It seems to me that since the court is now overseeing this, you could direct, and possibly we're going to have to do it through resolution, a request to the court to clarify these issues and get the understanding, because my initial understanding of this is the three supervisory doctors that we could not hire, and I hope we're still pursuing hiring, were going to be hired through the armor contract at least for a year until we could find out whether we'd get our own supervisory doctors in place. But it was the sheriff who was representing the whole other issue on this, and in fact we were not having difficulty, as I understand it, in hiring the supervisory personnel. And that's the problem with the third branch of government being involved with this. They don't perform the duties of the legislative branch. But you weren't being represented in the court hearing. So now that you understand this issue, it seems to me that you could go back into court and have this represented before the judge, since it's likely the sheriff was not presenting that view. And I think we should think about that September date. I certainly think we ought to get this resolved in the budget, but we need to direct our attorneys to get that clarified on behalf of the county with regard to these support staff, which I don't think was ever a problem under Dr. Shansky's supervision. It was always that supervisory staff. So that seems to be where that problem came in. And I would suggest you not let that continue. So let's get this straightened out in the September ruling before the court.
This won't be resolved today. So, were there other questions or comments before we move on? Okay, seeing none. Thank you to everyone. Item 3, please.